you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3, 10 and 11.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday. For some of you, you're saying, finally Friday. It's March 1st, 2024. Happy March. And before we jump into our topic on honor, I have a few different announcements, but we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. But quick update, it's been a packed week. You heard about our First Lady Ministry announcement, the new initiative that's starting April 2nd with Rachel Kramer being our first speaker. You're going to be blessed. And if you are a pastor's wife or you want to encourage your pastor's wife in the church, we're going to equip, encourage, and empower them in the days ahead. So we're looking forward to that. Also, coming up basically a week from today, March 8th and March 11th, Ben Franklin is putting on a free session. So if you have any tax questions or you've got your return filled out and you want somebody to look at it, he's doing it free of charge to bless our listeners. And it'll be happening on Friday, March 8th and Monday, March 11th from 8 to 1 p.m. at the Salvation Army Red Shield Center here in Champaign. And to register and to find out more, call 217-337-7526, 217-337-7526. And you may have also heard the announcement a few days ago, but we are hosting an editorial training and writing course, actually 8 series of classes facilitated by Rob Seidenberg. And there's only a $20 charge, which includes all the 8 sessions. And you can register by going to primelifetimes.com or calling the station and we'll send you a link. But if you're interested in learning how to edit or be a proofreader or be trained in creative writing skills, this might be for you. And maybe you're a high school or a college student or somebody retired that wants to write a book. Rob will walk you through all that over these 8 sessions beginning March 12th. So it'll be every other Tuesday night beginning March 12th. More to say about that if you call the station, 217-367-7777. All right, today we're going to talk about honor, and we have a new guest. All of our regulars are in here, but John Jennings is joining us. You might be familiar with him from some weeks back when we talk about his book, his beloved wife, Kathleen Jennings, has wrote, but he's joining us along with the Fernalds and the Zools and Alaric and Tad, and then Pastor Jason Schiffel. Honor. So we're looking at Philippians chapter 3, and I think this week, Jason, and next week, the discussion will center around honor, honoring God, honoring people.
Yeah. So everybody open up to Philippians chapter 3 if you haven't already. Turn in your Bible or turn on your Bible to that place. By the way, if you're listening to this while you're driving, don't do either of those things. So today we are in Philippians chapter 3. Would somebody do me a favor who's open to Philippians chapter 3, read for us verses 1 through 11.
Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, whose mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no conscience in the flesh. Although I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead.
Excellent. Excellent. So Paul is writing to these people in Philippi. Does anybody know anything about Philippi? Any facts about Philippi? Come on, let's see who could be on the Chamber of Commerce for the great city of Philippi. Does anybody know anything about it?
It's over in Greece.
Okay.
And it was a big metropolis city, if I remember.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Does anybody know about the people who lived in Philippi?
Retired Romans?
Yeah. Philippi was a Roman retirement community. So the people in Philippi loved what it meant to be a Roman. They loved honor, because honor was a big thing in the Roman culture. Your honor was a big thing. And so you had this city that was founded as a city for those who were honorable in a very earthly and worldly sense, and who held the emperor in great honor. This is why next week when we talk about this, it's going to be so important when Paul says, but our citizenship is where?
In heaven.
Because these people were proud to be citizens of Philippi, because Philippi was a place of honor where they honored the emperor. And Paul is trying to tell the people in Philippi, listen, it's not about honoring the emperor, it's about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting when we talk about honor, because in the ancient world and in this time, there were two kinds of honor. There was ascribed honor and attained honor. Does anybody know what they think ascribed honor might be? That's the honor that was given to you at birth. So ascribed honor would be like your family lineage. You know, what it was that you gained from the name that you carry. That ascribed kind of honor. For some people, that comes through property that maybe they have been given through their family. Maybe their family has a prominent name. And so when, you know, when John walks in the room, we go, it's John of the Jennings family. You know, and so that carries that. That's his ascribed honor. It's been ascribed to him at birth. He had nothing to do with what that was. It was given to him. Attained honor, though, is what comes from the things then that you've done. The work that you've done. And so in Philippi, there was two kinds of honor. There was obviously this honor that was ascribed. So if you met somebody, you would be, oh, it's Cletus of the family of blah, 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 blah. But then you would say, and Cletus was great in battle that one day in Rome. You know, that was his attained honor. And so this was a big deal in the town of Philippi.
Kind of a big deal even today.
Even a big deal today. But knowing that is important for having us understand why Paul writes this the way he writes this. And so Paul says, finally, my brothers. I love this because Paul has been writing a letter of both encouragement and correction. And sometimes when we hear correction, what do we immediately hear?
You messed up.
You don't want to have anything to do with me. Correction sometimes subtly can create division. You know, I have some teenagers in my house, and whenever I offer correction to them, they think I'm mad at them. I'm not mad at them, actually. I offer them correction because I love them, and I want them to do right and do well, and so correction is a part of what that means. Correction is love. So Paul, he writes, he says, finally, my brothers. I love when he says my brothers, because he's trying to say we're in this together. Just because I've offered you some correction doesn't mean that I'm angry at you. Doesn't mean that we have any disunity. Doesn't mean that we have any division in our relationship. You're my brothers.
And then because things in Philippi have been difficult, he tells them to do what? To rejoice in the Lord. Now, why does he tell them to do that, do you think, in the midst of some things that might be difficult? Does anybody know? Or maybe have some thoughts?
There's hope in the Lord.
Yeah. When you go through difficult things, what's one of the first things for you to leave? Well, what's one of the first things for you to lose?
Joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know anybody who's going through hard things who's like, you know, I just feel like the joy of the Lord is in my heart right now. Instead, people who go through hard things tend to say stuff like, I feel really burdened, really heavy. This is really hard. Listen, joy is like a bucket that leaks. And so when difficulty comes, our joy can tend to leak. And so Paul right away says, listen, we are in this together, and I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, that's key to the whole letter of the Philippians, right? Because this is called the letter of joy. Yes. And so Paul wants to remind them that their joy is where?
In the Lord.
In the Lord, yeah. Listen, that's a message that we need to hear, right? Because we so often count our joy in temporary things. Mm-hmm. And that's why our joy is oftentimes temporary. Mm-hmm. Instead of counting our joy in eternal things, in God himself. And so Paul wants to rightly... See, when somebody says, rejoice in the Lord, that isn't just a good phrase. That is directional. Rejoice where? In the Lord. Mm. By the way, the world has a counter message, doesn't it? Rejoice in whatever else. You know, I drove down the street a few minutes ago and I saw a sign that says that my cell phone isn't good enough, that I need to get a new cell phone. It wants me to rejoice in my cell phone. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says, it wasn't difficult for me to write the same things to you. It's no trouble to me and it's safe for you. He says, listen, I need to tell you some things here. Some things that you need to hear. And then he says, look out for them dogs. Mm-hmm. Now, does anybody know why he says, look out for them dogs? By the way, whenever a writer in the Bible says something three times, says the same things three ways, but says the same thing, that's an exclamation point. There isn't punctuation in the biblical text when they were writing it. Greek and Hebrew both don't have punctuation. So when something repeats itself, even though maybe it says kind of something a different way, but it means the same thing, that's an exclamation point. So Paul says here, look out for the dogs, those evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh. It's all the same thing. It's an exclamation point. Pay attention to this, Paul is saying. Now, does anybody know who these dogs, these evildoers, and those who mutilate the flesh are?
Yeah, was he speaking directly about the Judaizers, the Pharisees?
So why is he warning them about them? Why does he call them those who mutilate the flesh?
Well, he's referring there to circumcision, but he's referring the Judaizers were wanting them to come back into the faith of the law, under the law of the Torah. And so he, being a new Christian, was wanting them to stay faithful to Jesus Christ, but he's also warning them is that there's going to be people want you to come back into the fold, back into the Jewish fold, mm-hmm. is that you're part of our congregation, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really interesting because he says, look out for them dogs. You know why he calls them dogs?
That's a pretty insulting term for a Jew. Dogs are unclean.
Yeah. Did you know that the Jews at this time would use the word dogs for Gentiles, for unbeliever, for pagans? And so Paul says, those guys who look faithful, they're like pagans. I mean, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, because he's talking about the people who had the temple and the scroll, they had the mic. These are the guys who know, who are supposed to represent God, who are supposed to know all about God. And he says, these guys are no better than pagans. These guys are dogs. And notice what he says. He calls them dogs. And so your first question might be, well, how are they dogs? How are they pagan? How are they? And then he says, he calls them evildoers, which calls us to pay attention to what? What they do.
Yeah.
And then he takes them to those who mutilate the flesh. Why does he take them there? Because the Judaizers were saying, listen, you can be in Christ, but you still got to get circumcised.
Yeah.
You can be in Christ, but there's a little thing you got to do before you actually can be in Christ. I always want to be real careful when I come across anybody who says, Jesus Christ loves you and he makes himself available to you as your Lord and Savior, but there's a few things you have to do first. Okay. Because Jesus never says, there's a few things you have to do first, does he? No. No. And so Paul is saying here that there's some dogs, there's some faithful people who actually are acting a whole lot like pagans. Pay attention to their deeds because their deeds are evil. It's counter to the way that God would call them to live. And by the way, let me get real specific, they mutilate the flesh. Mm-hmm. Now, right away somebody would say, who maybe hears Paul saying this or even reads Paul in this letter, and says, yeah, but wait a second. I mean, didn't God command circumcision? I mean, didn't God command his people to do this? That's why when we go to verse 3, Paul says, for we are the circumcision. Paul says that physical thing, that physical sign that was needed in the Old Testament as God's people were learning what it meant to follow God, you now are the circumcision. You now are the one who by the Spirit have been circumcised. The old has become new. And he even says it, right? Who worship by what?
Spirit.
Yeah, and glory in Christ. Mm-hmm. And put no confidence in?
The flesh.
The flesh. Isn't it interesting? So he had given us these dogs, these evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh, and then he tells you what somebody who is faithful should look like. Yeah. Yeah. Who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ, who puts no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. So Paul, I love what Paul does. Paul says, when he says, but I have reason myself, he says, I'm going to stand between now these two groups. And I'm going to serve as a bridge for you to understand this. Paul's not standing on his pedestal going, hey, just look at me, I'm the best there is. Paul says, I want to stand between you two because we're all in process here and I want you to understand. And he says, I have reason for confidence in the flesh. He goes, I can understand why they have confidence in the flesh. I can understand their self-righteousness. I can understand where they're coming from. I don't think it's right, but I can understand it. And then he says, listen, if anybody wants to argue with me, if anybody thinks they have reason for confidence in the flesh, more reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more than all of you. I have more than all of you. By the way, right there, you know that Paul might be battling a little bit of pride.
I thought that too.
Yeah. Might be battling a little bit of pride. Yeah. But if we span all the scripture, I think that Paul does at times do that, just like all of us. Yeah. Just like all of us. And so Paul is telling these people, he's saying, listen, I'm going to stand in the middle of in this conversation. I'm going to put myself right in the middle of this conversation to help us to understand this conversation. And he says, me? Circumcised on the eighth day. By the way, that's Leviticus 12:3. Then he says, of the people of Israel. He goes, I'm a direct descendant of God's people. And then he goes, but you might argue, what do you mean you're a direct descendant of God's people? Ah, well, glad you asked. The tribe of Benjamin, one of the best tribes, the tribe that oversaw Jerusalem where the presence of God rested and the temple was built. Then he goes, and then he even adds something else. He goes, by the way, Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, if you think of a Hebrew, that's me. I could be on the billboard. Who's a Hebrew? Paul. I mean, Paul goes, listen, you want to know somebody who could have confidence in the flesh? How about a guy who was circumcised on the eighth day, so that mutilation of the flesh, I had it done. I was a direct descendant of the people who followed God through the wilderness. By the way, what tribe? The best tribe there was. We have Jerusalem and the temple and the presence of God, and I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Which honor is that for Paul? Remember, he's speaking to the Philippians. They love honor. Mm-hmm. This is ascribed honor. This is what was given to him. He grew up as a descendant of the people of Israel, circumcised on the eighth day. By the way, circumcised on the eighth day, he didn't have any say in that, did he? His parents just did it. So all this was given to him. This is his ascribed honor. And in his ascribed honor, in a very earthly sense, he looks pretty amazing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looks pretty amazing. And then he caps it off by saying, as to the law, as to the very thing these Judaizers think that they got the corner, they cornered the market on, I'm a Pharisee. I'm an expert in it.
Isn't this now the attained honor?
Sure, yeah. This is him telling, now we move to his attained honor, right? So because as to the law, what he grew up in, what he learned about, he's a Pharisee, he's an expert in the law. As to zeal, so you could see his passion for it, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And this is his attained honor. He goes, you could see my zeal. You knew I was a Pharisee. You could see it, man. I had the long robe. I had the long phylacteries. I would pray those long prayers out in the streets. I would do everything that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for. And he goes, and you could see my zeal. And persecuting the church, I got a list of people I killed, persecuted, locked up. And they all know my name. They're all going, Paul. Paul got us. Even Ananias, remember him? He wouldn't even pray with his eyes closed because I was in the room. And then he goes, righteousness under the law, meaning if you read the law, you would go, Paul does that, Paul does that, Paul does that. But Paul's essentially saying those 613 things in the commands, I do them all.
Jason, because we only have like a minute left, how can we put a wrap on this as far as honor or application maybe for today?
Paul says, whatever I gained, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul says, there's ascribed honor and there's attained honor. And then there's an honor that has been bestowed upon you because Jesus Christ knows your name and knows who you are. And that honor is counted above all things. Paul will say, I count everything else, all that other stuff that is celebrated in a worldly sense, as rubbish, up and against the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus. The fact that he knows me.
Philippians, the letter of joy. We highly recommend you read it. Meet up with a friend and talk about it. See what you glean as you both read it together or as a small group, and certainly be praying up your pastor for this Sunday's message that he may be preaching. And we hope that you'll include Bible reading throughout the week in your life. It's highly recommended and it's a blessing. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our discussion today. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.